Welcome. You are listening to the Off the Bench Podcast. My name is Ryan, and what I have with me today is the sixth man of Dead End Sports, Q.
Yo, what's up, everybody?
And what's up? And thank you for listening. So what we're going to have here for y'all, this is known as Off the Bench. This is going to be a podcast focused on the NBA specifically, since Dead End Sports mostly focuses on the biggest sports stories in all sports possible, whatever they are. Q, do you want to let them know what Off the Bench is also going to be focusing on?
Yeah, man. Off the Bench is basically an idea that me, Ryan, and all the guys over at Dead End Sports came up with. We know, just like Ryan said, that the guys over there, they focus on many of, you know, the different sports, NHL, even sometimes NBA, obviously, NFL, MLB, all those different sports. And it's hard because, you know, them being grown men, they have responsibilities to take care of. And we usually call those guys like the starting five because, you know, Rod, Beasy, Ken, FIFO, they're the starting five. So where do we come in? We come in off the bench to talk to you about NBA, something that they're very passionate about, but they don't get to talk about because they have responsibilities, like I said. So what we're going to be doing in this podcast is similar to what Ryan articulated earlier. We're going to be talking about the NBA more in depth. Probably you can expect, you know, an hour, you know, a little over sometimes, of just pure content on the NBA, ideas, speculation, trade, debates. Me being a Sixers fan, Ryan being a Celtics fan, it's going to get a little heated sometimes, but we'll be all right. We're going to keep it very classy. We'll try to.
No promises, but what we have for y'all is going to be focusing more so, like you just said, focusing on more details in the NBA specifics, trade rumors, draft prospects, top 10 lists, top 5 lists, MVP talks, all this stuff. And we also take ideas as well. If you want to hit us up, my Twitter handle is at RLS003.
Q? Q got no rings because the Eagles in the NFL have no rings. And we're not going to talk about that. We're going to talk about NBA here.
Leave the NFL for another day.
Yeah, we'll talk about that. You can catch that on Dead End Sports. I think they just recently moved to Google Hangouts. You can follow them on Twitter at Dead End Sports, the YouTube, youtube.com/Dead End Sports, all the socials. You'll find them on there.
Make sure to subscribe every Tuesday, 9 p.m.
Exactly. And we'll be probably dropping this. We're still sorting out the details, but we're aiming for every other Thursday starting off, seeing what kind of audience we can get from this. And we'll form a more rounded schedule when we figure out what the numbers that we're doing and stuff like that, you know.
Of course. So let's just jump right into it. No BS, no politics. Let's get right into it. So first topic we have for y'all today is the trade talks. Since the deadline for the NBA is February 19th, I'd say normally last season there was a lot more trade talks. Do you remember exactly how many trade talks you remember hearing? A lot more rumors at this point by now?
Yeah. Man, Goran Dragic unhappy in Phoenix. Yeah. Was another one. Ty Lawson hates it in Denver, you know, stuff like that. Boogie hates it in Sacramento. I think the first time for like, you know, 3 years in a row. I think we were talking about MCW in Philly. Could Sam Hinkie make a trade there? You know, just a lot of different stuff. But, you know, it's crazy, man. It's the fact that this NBA season has been very – it's been so competitive that everyone's mediocre. I don't think people are realizing that.
The trade talks have like really stalled. I've been as a Celtics fan because of my team's issues with the front court and even sometimes with how much depth we have. I've been waiting to hear more so about the rumors, and they just been lacking thereof. And I mean, I've been checking constantly: Roto World, Hoops Rumors, Hoops Hype, Hoops Habit. You name it. Just looking for any type of damn trade rumors. Like, it's got to be something. Like, what happened to, you know, Ryan Anderson from the Pelicans supposed to be traded? Then Alvin Gentry comes out today saying, we're probably not going to trade him. You're going to hear it, but we're probably not going to trade him. Okay. Like, oh, thanks for the hype.
Yeah, Marquis Morris, we're waiting for that. That's supposed to be, like, wrapped up around.
Supposedly has no value at this point, but I mean.
I mean, they say he's a head case, man. That's the thing about it. So
it's kind of like Boogie in a little bit.
But the thing is, like, he doesn't have Boogie talent. You can be a, right. You can be like a headache if you're, you know. I guess we can go to another sport. Like, the thing is, Terrell Owens, when he was in the NFL, everyone was so, you know, everyone hated him, but teams needed that talent. So it's like the same thing with Boogie. People might not like his attitude. They might not, you know, think that he's the best team player, but the dude is going to go out and give you 110% every time.
Right. So I think the biggest reason, like, I think I might have alluded to it earlier, is that since the divisions are gone in the NBA, they no longer matter for playoffs. So it's not like, you know, your team is pretty, your season is pretty much done a lot earlier. Now there's more of a shot because now you're trying to just fight for that eighth seed, period, not necessarily a division win. And especially in the East, because the difference between the first place seed and the eighth place seed is no more than 4 games,
mm-hmm.
5 games at most. And it's just teams aren't, at least the people leaking the news don't seem to be talking as much about it. And it's kind of, it's just weird.
It is. It's actually very weird. I think the thing is about the trade talk so far, I think we should get specifically into the people who we think need to be traded, the people who need to stay put, things that should happen February. So let's start with Houston. Because they're very problematic right now. They're not doing what everyone expected them to do. They're very on and off, very inconsistent. One night, James Harden will look like, you know, God's gift to the basketball. And then the next night, they look like a bunch of guys with low IQs who just started playing basketball last night. It just looks awful sometimes, but then they look good. So, I mean, Ty Lawson went there this offseason? When he was traded, right? He was traded. Or did they just cut?
Went to rehab.
Yeah, he went to rehab because, you know, he can't stay off that drink. It's all good. He's been better. I think that they just suspended him for 3 games.
Another one?
Yeah, I'm looking at the headline right now. Ty Lawson suspended 3 games for a DUI.
When did this just happen?
This just happened as I'm...
I thought he served a recent suspension. He got another one?
It might be another one.
Shout out to DJ Khaled. pretty much.
Yeah, I'm looking for it right now.
Well, let me speak on that because he was supposed to be the starting point guard. He was. He did not look the same, and they pushed him to the bench, and then he just became abysmal on the plus and minus. And it's just been a complete slap in the face. So, I mean, like, the thing is, like, the value at this point is just so he's starting to kick it back up a little bit since I guess he's refocusing. But
to be honest, just a clarification, he hasn't. He didn't serve his 3-game suspension. He just went to rehab. Now they're suspending him now, which is very weird in the middle of the season when you're trying to get momentum. Yeah, I'm looking at the comments on the Bleacher Report, and I agree with everyone in here talking about the timing of NBA suspensions sometimes can be just terrible.
How recent is that Bleacher Report?
It's right on the front page.
Wow.
Front page.
Yeah, I didn't get it. The teams, I think, that would be willing to take them at this point, I mean, I'm just going to throw it out there only because – the teams that are really at the bottom of the barrel, Philly, because guards are needed, I think, in my opinion. You do have Ish Smith, but...
I think he'd make us too good. You know what I'm saying? I think he'd make us way too good. We definitely would not bring that guy in.
That's a force.
Yeah, too much.
Another place that I think he could probably... This is assuming Rondo doesn't stay, is the Kings.
Mm-hmm. I think Rondo's staying, man.
Yeah, I think so. Assuming if Boogie is a lock.
Well, if Boogie bounces, that's the thing. If Boogie's like, well, not bounce, but if Boogie's, you know, trade off for Kings ransom, yeah.
If the bomb doesn't blow up and Boogie doesn't request a trade or I'll put it this way. If by the trade deadline and they are more than 4 or 5 games out of the eight, George Karl dynamic just goes to shit.
Yeah, so we're thinking, oh man, it's just going to be very hard to see him going anywhere to a contender. I don't think he goes to a contender, man. I don't know. Like, there's no one that really beats him in the West. Like,
I want him to, but hey, you know, it's always going to be on watch. There's always going to be talk about it. And when it happens, we'll talk about it then.
But yeah.
Right now, it doesn't seem anything's happened with Booker. Vlade's like, nah, he's our franchise player, and we're getting a new arena. So unless you can
go to Seattle,
Father Arthur, to like, you know, start over, I don't see it.
They need to send that team to Seattle and you stop bullshitting with that.
Yeah, it is bullshit. Hate that organization right now.
Yeah.
But back to Ty Lawson. So Houston, maybe Sacramento,
maybe
Philly. No way he's going back to Denver.
Mm. He just has to prove himself because he's capable.
He really
he is capable like, as a player. We've seen him in the, what was it, 3 years ago against Golden State. In that playoff series, he played very well when Iguodala was still on the Nuggets. I mean, the Nuggets. No, there's just a lot of teams I think need his scoring, but I think
his assists. His assist game is not what it was when I did fantasy basketball last season.
Mm-hmm.
He was one of the players that I was like, oh shoot, Ty Lawson's in the top 50 for fantasy. Why is that? And I see he's averaging 10 plus assists. And I'm just like, oh shoot, he's one of the top 5 assists in the game. And I was just like, that's.
Yeah, I mean, the thing that Ty Lawson's known for is being a scorer and an assist man, which is very, very rare. In point guards, you either have one or the other. You're really not that, you know, like Kyrie, he's a scoring point guard. Dame Lillard's a scoring point guard. Chris Paul's an assisting point guard. You know, you're not really known to be both. But when you come along like a John Wall, who's a point guard, you get those, you know, random ones who like, you know, the Russell Westbrooks who are both, and the Ty Lawsons to a lesser degree who are both. But the thing is, I think he just needs to prove himself. I think if we – all right, let's put him in a situation where, all right, Ty Lawson's back. He's scoring 22 and 6 off the bench for Houston. Right? Let's say that. I think –
give him 16.
All right, yeah, let's give him that. So I think teams that could use him definitely, if we're going in off the bench role – no pun intended, or if we're going, you know, a starting job, I think, depending on what they do with Rubio, I think Minnesota, I think Minnesota could use it.
That'd be interesting. What makes you think they don't try Levine or Tyus Jones to that point?
Because I think they're waiting for those guys to develop, and I think off the bench is better, no pun intended. I'm going to be saying that a lot. I think Levine, his skill set is very much, very much promising. Like, it's very, very promising.
He can score. It's just his efficiency. It can be downright atrocious.
Yeah. But he just needs – I think he needs a guy like Ty Lawson to come in, because Rubio is not a scorer. Rubio is an assist man. He's purely a pass-first point guard.
And he somehow racks up number of steals.
Yeah, he's a steal man and he's an assist man. And that's great for, like, a bench point guard, you know, like a backup. But for a starter, I don't know if he's that guy who's going to be there. Ty Lawson's a little bit like 28, right? I think if you bring him in our hypothetical situation, if he's scoring and he's assisting at a high clip, I think you got to bring him into Minnesota. I think you can. I think they have enough pieces to get.
That team's loaded, though.
Yeah, that team is loaded with young pieces. So you want Houston? Houston would get younger, and Minnesota needs to get older at the same time, because they have is KG. They have Kevin Martin. That's great.
And they have KG, Andre Miller, Tayshaun Prince,
Kevin Martin.
Kevin Martin, you have at least 4 vets on that team.
And those guys are not going to be there within 4 years. Like, those guys are probably gone this offseason. A lot of those guys are.
KG, most likely.
Ty Lawson has, at the very minimum, he has another 4 years in him to help that team get, like, you know, one of those little, you know, bring the whole city together on like a first round playoff, you know, exit. You know, he's that guy to get them there, to teach them, hey, we can win.
So you think?
Yeah.
You think he could be like what Mo Williams did in Minnesota last year before he left, was traded to Charlotte?
Yeah,
because he was scoring off the bench.
Yeah, I think. I definitely think Ty Lawson could be. Yeah, man. Yeah, that's actually.
Good. I mean, Mo Williams put up that 50-point game last season. So I mean.
Yeah, Mo at what 52, right? If,
yeah, and he made Paul George lose his mind too when he was even
playing. Exactly. So Ty Lawson, we'll see what he does. Kevin Martin, we talked about Kevin Martin. Kevin Martin, I love his contract. I love what he can bring to a team.
But he's dirt cheap.
I think he's really cheap right now. I think he's like $3 million or something. Fact check that. But yeah, man. Kevin Martin from Minnesota Timberwolves. I think he was number 23, right? He's in his
$7 million.
That's dirt right now.
On 2 years.
2 years. Yeah, dude. I take him. I think Miami needs to do something. I want to get on them and Kevin Martin. I want that to happen. I think Miami needs a shooter. I think they need someone to accompany Gerald Green to let him get off like he needs to. Because what I love about Kevin Martin is the fact that he's a three-point shooter. And he always has those, you know, 35-point games once every blue moon. He's good for one of those like every couple months, which is pretty good. He's going to average at least, you know, 12 points a game. And he's going to teach the guys on his team spacing, because he knows about that from his old days in Denver, I think. Was it Denver or was it Sacramento? Either way, he was, you know, in one of those systems where they spread the floor out. And he can teach the guys on his team to be good shooters, because he has a really sweet form. I don't know what it is about his form, but every time I watch the Timberwolves play, he's fantastic. He gets hurt sometimes, but I think he has like chronic wrist issues, man. Too much, you know, trying to be like low B. You know what I'm saying?
The thing with Miami though is they have a lot of cheap contracts right now,
which is why they need to sell. They need to sell. Their value is very high. You know,
but they're still trying to be prepared for the KD.
I know, and that's the thing.
That's the problem, because if they were to do that trade, they would have to either throw Birdman, Mick Roberts, at least for that deal,
yeah.
Because they're both at $5 million, and then you'd have to maybe throw in. Actually, you don't even have to throw in another one, because I think it'd be within the range, assuming it goes through in terms of incoming salaries and all. But I don't know if they would do it. Maybe they get rid of Udonis Haslem for.
Oh no, no, they wouldn't do that. UD, you can't get you cannot get rid of UD, man. Come on.
How is that man still playing? He's a corpse.
He teaches teams.
Does he play off the bench anymore?
He comes off like every once in a blue moon, but he's there not to play.
Does he get more minutes than Birdman?
I don't even know if that. I don't think he does.
I don't even know. Like, is he in street clothes? I haven't watched him.
I seen him last night. He didn't play, but he was on the bench, man. He's just chilling. He's teaching the kids, man. That's all it's about. He's teaching the kids. He's where KG would be 2 years from now if he was still playing. Like on the bench all the time, just telling the kids, hey, when you set that screen. He just is, you know what I'm saying? He's one of those guys. So, hey, when he's coming around that pick, put an elbow in it. You know what I'm saying? Stuff like that. You know, he's giving the old man rules right now. So,
that's one thing.
Yeah, man. Kevin Martin. Imagine this, though.
He deserves to go somewhere. The problem is those talks. Last time I read it, where they stalled.
Yeah.
Who was talking with it? But they were stalled. It was either I think it was Memphis. I think it was Kevin Martin and Courtney Lee,
mm-hmm.
And those talks stalled for whatever.
Kevin Martin for Courtney Lee?
Let me see. Let me just.
I wouldn't do that.
I don't know if it. I think it might have been straight up.
Mm-hmm. I definitely wouldn't do that at all. Can we just pause for 1 second? I need to pick a bone.
Okay.
This Tuesday on the Google Hangout, I told everyone in there that Kobe's been playing pretty good. He's playing pretty great for him at his age. Great, you know, subjective. But I would like to tell everyone, you know, FIFO, in particular, FIFO, I'm calling you out right now, dude. Kobe just hit 3 threes in a row. He's got 26. He's got 26 points on 10 of 15 shooting. So
he had some sweet.
He's had really good games.
He got double covers. Just got it to the rack like vintage Mamba.
Yeah, he's been playing really well.
It shocked me.
He's playing really well. But back to Kevin Martin. I think Kevin in Miami would be doing wonders for that team because everyone knows Gerald Green can hit down, like he can knock down the open three. So everyone's playing him tight. And he's an athlete, so they're not giving him the ball in transition at all. Like I saw Miami's offense last night, and dude,
it's very, very long possessions.
I hate it, and
most of the time it ends up being Dwayne.
I cannot stand their offense. I think they might have needed D'Antoni more than we did, because that was just, you know, because their offense right now, dude, I'm watching it. And by the way, Dwayne Wade's playing fantastic. D-Wade's been playing fantastic. He looks like, you know, he's 25 again. It's ridiculous. But
he doesn't even look like his knees are hurt.
But he can't be the main focus of this offense. Because then you're putting him in position to where we have to hear, and Dwayne Wade's down on the floor. In the first playoff game, you know, coming up.
You need to let Dragic.
Yeah, they need to let Dragic go. But they're not, because for some reason, Spoelstra, and, you know, I've talked to a lot of Miami Heat fans, whether it's on their SB Nation or on different forums or even in real life, and a lot of them don't like Spoelstra as head coach, man.
I'm not the biggest fan of him.
I'm not either. I don't, you know, are we really, like, completely sure that Spoelstra is, like, a great coach? I don't think he's...
Are we sure he's good?
I don't know if he's good. I mean,
you can have my 2 cents about his two rings after the 06 one. You can have my 2 cents on that, and I'll tell you that he's forever indebted to LeBron.
Yeah, I mean, for sure. But the thing is, what Spoelstra was an assistant to Pat, right? He was an assistant in
06 with Dwayne Wade.
Yeah, so that's really not even.
So he has three.
Yeah, he has three, but that's not even his ring.
Yeah, I don't fully.
I don't count assistant rings. Otherwise, I would count Tom Coughlin and the Giants having three, but I don't. So it's like, I just look at their offense, and like you said, very long possession. It's either, hey, hand the ball off to like Dwayne, and he'll bull rush into the paint and try to create a foul, or they'll kick it up to the top of the key for a Bosh three, which might not even go. Like
he's getting his 30 points, but I mean, it's still.
I hate the offense. I hate it. I cannot stand looking at it because I see Gerald Green wide open on the corner, and Bosh just passing the ball to Tyler Johnson, and I'm like, "What are you doing?" I love Tyler Johnson.
They want to get him going.
I love Tyler Johnson, but if you're telling me that if Kevin Martin was in this offense, they could just play Gerald and Kevin and have Uldra just dish to both of them, and have Whiteside and bring in Stoudemire. It doesn't matter whoever the power forward is.
For his rare play.
Yeah, his rare playing time. That's bring in Stoudemire. You know what I'm saying? Like, they have a good bench. They just do not use them. I think they're waiting for the playoffs.
Stoudemire plays like what? Once a month?
He plays like maybe like twice a year. I don't even know what he does. I saw him play like twice last year. I really don't watch that much of Miami to know every time that he's on. But I've watched it probably about 45% of their games so far. I love Dwayne Wade, and I just look at their offense and they just scream shooter. Like, they just need a shooter. Ryan Anderson,
they have it though.
They just
don't use them.
They just need one more.
You have shooters because Bosh can hit the three. You got Gerald Green apparently.
But Bosh should not be your go-to.
One or two shots to go off.
Yeah, but Bosh should not be your go-to, Ryan. Because
no, he shouldn't.
But he is.
He should be a spacer.
Yeah, he should be that guy who's, you know, an elbow knocking down that 15 to 17 footer, and that's it. But instead, they have him up at the top of the key in the corners, and it's just like, dude, Bosh did that when LeBron was there because LeBron could get him wide open. Now they're forcing him to shoot contested threes, and I just hate the offense. And they need a shooter like a Kevin Martin. And let me get your thoughts. Let me get your thoughts.
All right, let me update you about that Courtney Lee trade. Mm. So it was supposed to be T-Wolves have been trying, but to no avail, for a Martin-Courtney Lee swap with Memphis. Martin's $7.3 million player option and lack of clarity about what he'll do with it is an issue for the Grizzlies and other. So that, I guess, stalled up today.
Yeah.
That would have been... I didn't see that happening, personally. I guess they're really trying to kill grit and grind over there, but... he should leave Minnesota, in my opinion, because they have so much youth, and as much as they're getting mentored by the vets, they need the minutes as well to put what they're being taught on the floor.
Yeah.
So he should definitely be a trade target, as well as Ryan Anderson, which Alvin Gentry today just said, you know, he's going to be talked about, but he's not going. He's probably not. We're not calling anyone about it. If they
That's
call
just
us,
so
though,
saddening
we'll,
to me.
We'll trade
That's
him.
So saddening. They need to get him going, definitely. Ryan Anderson, man, they need to get a king's ransom because teams will pay for it.
Let me give you my two cents on that. Because I tweeted the Bird Rights, the SB Nation for the Pelicans, about this and Celtics blog at the time, because this was a couple weeks ago about, you know, throwing, what if we took Ryan Anderson and Tyreek Evans, and we'll give you like David Lee, Tyler Zeller, Jarebko, or involving Evan Turner. I forgot which it was. I think it was at least three players for the two. The reason why I did that was because that way Celtics would get a open spot on the roster and wouldn't be stuck at 15, so maybe we can get the rookies to start getting some more minutes as well to just clear up this logjam we have, because Rhino Anderson would be that shooter that we need instead of having just to rely on Isaiah Thomas so much. And the Bird Rights didn't mind that trade. It was, I think it was Jarebko, Zeller, or David Lee, I can't remember which, and Evan Turner, because even though Evan Turner is a playmaker, a shot creator, when he has a bad moment or a turnover,
I think he does more bad than he does good sometimes.
Like it's such a chaotic relationship. Like when he surprised you, like, oh shit, maybe he really
turned the corner.
He's been underrated, and then when you see the error, and you just want
to. I have had to deal with this for years.
Out the window and like kick a puppy off your neighbor's lawn and across the street, because it's just like, what the flying.
And trust me, dog, I know, because I had to deal with this in Philly. Like, this is just like one night he'll have that one magical night. Evan Turner went off for 30-9 tonight against, you know, the Detroit Pistons, and then the next game he'll score, you know, 7-2, and it's just like, what is this? With five turnovers, and it's just like, what are you doing? Like, where was this?
Yeah, he does more hero iso ball than Brad Stevens' system likes. I'll say this: this is the best I think he's been playing in his whole career with this system, because he's improved on defense to a degree. Mm-hmm. But again, he's still more of a liability to me, and I just want him off the team because it causes cancer to me than I like.
I mean, maybe he needs, you know, maybe, well, not he, but maybe the Celtics just need shooters.
I could, you know, we can make a whole podcast about what I think would be nice shooters.
So would you take a flyer on Ryan Anderson or over Kevin Martin?
I would like Ryan Anderson on the Celtics, yes. I would like that trade. He was a trade target, I think, in the Celtics blog's write-up, as well as the Pelicans' write-up as well on SB Nation, because they were floating around the idea, the Pelicans one was targeting Jared Sullinger to be the front court partner with Anthony Davis instead of Ryan Anderson. Now it's just like, you know, as much as I love Sully, as much as I love his game, I wouldn't be completely mad, but the only thing they have to do is they can't expect a they were expecting like a Dallas pick or something like that. And I'm like, nah, you're not getting the Dallas pick for this.
Exactly. No.
So I would love it if they cleared up, like I said, they clear up some of the front court and get another wing like a Ryan Anderson, so he could play whether it be four or the three and be that wing shooter, so that way we have another go-to scorer, because they need that. So I'd be fine with if he came to the Celtics. I'd love it. Main thing is, we just clear the log jams.
Definitely. I don't even know if I have much more on trades, because that's just it's been this dry, man. It's been really dry.
I mean, I could give you something right now.
What's up?
the team I think that should really do a trade, that should really do a trade, would be definitely the Celtics. But besides them, let me pull this up. Side note, Brooklyn wants to trade because I guess they're going
to avoid that pick, man. They're like, nope. Yeah,
they're trying to make sure like that pick's not so valuable, but it's like, bruh, you lost Jarrett Jack. And as always, Brook Lopez is always a foot injury away from completely tanking the season. What was the team? I think Denver should make a trade because I didn't realize, because they just waived some players today, and supposedly they might start taking the 10-day contracts, but I didn't realize how much of depth they had at the front court since Jusuf Nurkić just came back.
They need to trade Gallinari.
He's another guy that was on the Celtics list that I want. I would have been upset. But in terms of trade targets, you know, Boogie's number one. I would have been fine with Gallinari.
Dude, Gallinari scored like 45 last season. I don't know. Like, he had that one game where everyone was like, oh, he can still play. And everyone's like, you know.
It's a flamethrower. He's like, what, 27, 28?
I'm going to look that up. But, dude, Gallinari, wasn't he in part of that deal with Carmelo to the Knicks? He got traded from Denver, right? Yeah, he was a part of that deal. And
really? That far back?
Yeah, it was. He was a part of that deal. He's just stayed there ever since. And I like his game a lot, man. He can score. He's definitely just one of those guys. It's just, he's 6'10", but, dude, I love his shooting. I don't know what it is. I like his shooting.
He's 27. He's young.
I like his shooting. I think the Celtics could use him. I think someone...
He's been a trade target. I hope Denver does it because...
Cleveland needs to do that deal.
With Denver?
Yeah, they need to do that deal.
Why would Denver want to trade with Cleveland?
They definitely would not, but they've done it before, and they have camaraderie at least, and they need small forward depth. I think they're going to need it for, you know, to play with people like Golden State. They're definitely going to need it against teams like Miami.
Oh.
They're definitely going to need it. They're definitely going to need that
roster. Yeah, you're right.
They're going to need that depth against teams like Miami because Whiteside's in there. And yep. I don't know who's like.
Nurkić is the big center.
Yeah.
But I just didn't realize how many centers.
He's $4 million.
They're cheap. Oh my God. Wait a minute. All right. So you got Nikola Jokic, who fulfilled in his role while Nurkić was out, and you also have Joffrey LaVerne, both on dirt cheap contracts. LaVerne is under $2 million for 2 years, and Jokic is barely over $1 million for four. That's dirt cheap.
I'd also do this deal for the Mavericks too. The Mavericks need someone like that.
It could take a center because I mean
they've been playing fantastic.
They are the biggest.
I told you. No, Jockman, and what's his name? I feel so bad for saying that. Sneak. I'm sorry, dude. I forgot your name for a second. Sneak called in one day, and he was saying, you know, I don't know if we're going to be good. We, you know, basically just giving everyone away. And they just beat the Pelicans without Dirk, Wesley Matthews, and Darren. They need a trade, which is probably why they're not trading anybody because they're scared that they're going to get worse. And
Mavericks?
No, the Pelicans. The Pelicans need a trade.
Oh, they need
and
a trade.
They're scared. They're scared. But they need the team that needs a trade with them. They need to trade with Minnesota.
Boston.
They need to trade with Minnesota because Minnesota has players who are old enough to want to help out a contending team, but still young enough to be able to play a couple years on contracts. So they definitely need to make a call about Kevin Martin. They need to make a call about they need to make a call about Adrian Payne. I love that kid. I think that the Hawks gave up on him way too soon. I think he just needs to get in the right system and have just have someone like AD, as young as he is, teach him how to be a good player in this league. He has a skill set. He has it. He's just not being shown because he's buried on that bench in Minnesota. And when he does play, they're basically just letting Zach LaVine just, you know, run around and catch lobs and everything like that, which is, I'm not mad at that either, but, you know.
Yeah, Pelicans are definitely.
They definitely need that.
They need
Memphis that. Needs one.
Gentry said it the other night that they're not a good team. They're not playing well. They're not giving effort. They're not doing service by the fans. And they really do because they have so many guards. That
you know what? Maybe
Drew Holiday should be starting. Tyreek Evans is that inconsistent turnover machine. Eric Gordon's your shooter. You got Anderson, who's not meshing well, and you got that nice little stick, Omer Asik, just sitting around with a terrible contract.
And maybe they, you know, they feel like dickheads finally for letting go Monty Williams for what's his name. We all thought, hey,
for Gentry, I don't know.
Maybe they do, because maybe Monty. This is why I say, man, that sometimes coaches, as mediocre as they are, sometimes you just have to keep them for a little longer so players can learn how to win by themselves, like instead of having to lean on people as crutches. You know, AD's still a basketball baby. You know what I'm saying? Well, he's in his, what, fourth season now? Fourth?
It's like 21, 22.
Yeah, his fourth season. And he needs his coach to baby him. He needs that. He needs him to, hey, AD, you're going to be a star in this league, but I'm the first coach that you got, and we have a bond. And they don't understand that. And in a lot of positions, when you're a player, you need your coach to be with you. And you need that coach to baby you and walk you through the steps. And by baby, I don't mean like coddle, but I mean it in the sense of, you know, like a parent relationship where you bring someone up to where they learn how to do for themselves. And AD was learning that under Monty Williams, and they wrongly fired him after getting that eighth seed last year and getting swept by the Warriors, who won the championship. So there's no shame in that. It's not like they lost to, like, you know, not like they lost to the Grizzlies or something, because that would have been a good series. But if they lost, you know, to the champion, you can't get mad at that. And I felt as though that the Pelicans organization made a huge mistake. And now they definitely need to trade with someone. They need to trade with somebody. They need to trade with somebody. But they're probably too scared to trade, Ryan, because what is their mindset? Oh, we already have the pieces that we like and people want to trade with us, but all we're going to do is get scraps back, so why trade? That's probably what they're thinking right now.
Oh, you're not going to get scraps back, because if you fulfill another team's need, you're
going
to get some value.
Yeah.
Like I said, I don't know what phone calls have or have not been made, but I would think Celtics would be an ideal target for Anderson because he doesn't have to worry about – I think he would thrive in the pace and space. But they just – I mean, what else are you going to do? Your season's most likely lost. You're in the top lottery. You're most likely going to be tanking at this point. There's no way you're getting that. I don't see it. I don't. There's still, like, what, 10 – wins tops. I don't remember how many they have right now. It's not happening. You guys need a retool. Just focus on learning the system, get through the year, and focus on your roster being more efficient to make the system work. Don't chicken out now. There's no point. Otherwise, it really will be a lost season. Another team I think that should do moves because of their depth, besides Boston, is Chicago. There's some talks about that, specifically Joakim Noah, Taj Gibson,
Miritich, even, right?
No, even Pau Gasol.
They need to do that. I think they need to let them go. I'm looking at Phoenix.
Hashtag free Bobby Portis.
Bobby is free. Schmurter is free. Not the real Schmurter, but Bobby Schmurter is free, and he's killing it right now. I love Bobby Portis, man.
I love him too. I wish the Celtics took him. Sorry, Terry, I love you, but Bobby Portis is...
I haven't heard much from Terry this season, but I still like his skill set.
We just haven't seen, because we have so many guards right now. He's not going to be able to play because we got so much depth everywhere. Exactly. So I'm not going to rant right now. I'm not going to.
Exactly.
Chicago needs... They have their depth, I think, is on the level of Boston's depth, but it may become a problem. Because now Portis has proven, hey, I'm worth putting minutes in. And when Joakim Noah comes back, this came out today, Noah's going to be coming back, and now Portis will come off the bench.
Yeah.
So his minutes are going to be more limited, so Noah's going to be getting those minutes back, and, you know, probably because he'll probably be a trade.
You know, it would be wild. You know, it would be definitely crazy if Pau Gasol to the Mavericks. That would be really weird. Let's get weird here, because if you start Dirk, because Pau can play a little center.
two Euro players?
That would be so real. I would love it because. And the thing is, Pau would come off the bench too. Pau wouldn't mind. I think Pau would come off the bench easily.
Over Zaza Pachulia? JaVale McGee?
Because Dirk is there. They could start Dirk.
Speak on it. What do you
mean? Dirk, right? All right. So if they started Dirk, right? You know, I know Dirk is kind of fringe bench player right now. Some nights he'll be on, some nights he'll come off. But
I don't know about fringe. He's putting up.
No, I mean like fringe in terms of like some nights he might come off, some nights he'll be on the starting lineup. But Dirk, man, I think he could play. You know, because he's power forward.
Gonna put him at center?
No. Dirk, power forward. And then off the bench, you could just have Powell and McGee and let that happen. You get extra scoring. The reason why I'm saying this is because I'm thinking of Rick Carlisle with a Pau Gasol in his system. And oh my goodness, we thought Powell was balling in Chicago. I think Powell would probably drop almost 30. He would drop close to 30 most nights in that system. Obviously an exaggeration. But
off the bench?
I think off the bench.
Over Zaza?
Yeah. What? I love Zaza, but...
I know, but, like, Pau's better than Zaza.
Obviously, man. Well, I'm kind of... No, and this is kind of my fantasy world right now.
I know, but, like... We're talking JaVale McGee.
Yeah,
like, let me get my Shaq and a fool on JaVale McGee.
Exactly. Like,
if that...
These are my what ifs. These are just the thoughts of.
You know what? If they did do it, they'd have to do like a Zaza for Pau. But even then, no. You know what?
I'm saying.
I don't even know if that could even happen though. Like.
Yeah.
Both these rosters are
the weird. The weirdness would be amazing.
If it'd be, I don't know how you could fit.
Would be incredible.
Maybe they finally get rid of Devin Harris.
Nah, dude, he's too much of a stable.
They have like a three. I mean, cute. You got Deron Williams, JJ Barea, Devin Harris, and Raymond Felton. They are
stacked, and they play them both two guards. They play two guards all the time. I love it.
They could cut some depth.
I love it. I think who's backup point guard behind D.D. Rose? Is it still Heinrich or is he always hurt? Like
it's Heinrich on most nights, and then
what happened to Aaron Brooks?
If D. Rose is out, it's Aaron Brooks who starts.
Okay, I think let's examine this roster and then let's move on to the next topic. Because I love the Mavericks. I don't know.
Somebody just make a trade, man. That's what I just stop the ramp up because I just. While you're looking that up, like I just need some trades to have because teams that are, as you said, at mediocre, I think some of these are better than what they are. Specifically, my Celtics, as they've been losing games they should be winning, they haven't been as consistent. For some reason, offensively, it's just – I literally kicked my couch tonight watching this Bulls game. I literally kicked my shoes off and threw them across the room. Like it was – it was just so frustrating – at times to see, like, I really feel whenever we have an off day, if we get an off day to do practice, Brad Stevens, if he does look at this film, he needs to make these guys do some basic layups, drills, just.
Oh my God. I'm sorry, man. You know what I do? And the math of the onus is completely wrong. It would never happen. But I'm just going to shoot my shot here.
Go ahead.
McDermott.
Really?
And Gasol. McDermott and Gasol for hold up. For Chandler Parsons.
What?
For Chandler Parsons.
You need more money. Okay,
Chandler Parsons. I'm high right now, but like it's okay. It's like I'm not high, everybody. Don't do drugs. Chandler Parsons and Justin Anderson. That's what I would do it for. Give me that.
Wow, they're rookies.
They would never do it, but they should.
They like their rookie.
They would never do it, but they should.
Doug McDermott, Pau Gasol, Chandler Parsons, Justin Anderson. You gotta get rid of a center too. Like this is complete fantasy.
Of course, it is complete fantasy, and that's why I love doing this, because I can talk about anything. Anything.
Like, yeah, you're right. The money doesn't even work at all. Chandler, I didn't even realize Chandler Parsons was making 50.
Yeah, getting really overpaid for doing random work. But how far first, though, before we move on to the next topic, can we just talk about how good the Mavericks are doing with this terrible roster that if it was coached by, anybody else,
Carlisle,
they would be the 10th seed, like just the 30,000 seed in the West. Like they would just be awful. But they have, look at this. They have a roster of.
Darren Williams has been revived from the.
They have a roster of post 2010 Darren Williams, Chandler Parsons, who's been riddled with injuries, JaVale McGee.
Now he's balling.
Yeah. Wesley Matthews, who's coming off an Achilles tear at 28. Zaza Pachulia.
Balling.
Dirk.
Zaza Pachulia putting up 18 rebounds.
Like Dirk, who's. Balling out of control.
He's literally beating up Father Time with his Dirk shot. Like he's got the one leg right in front of Father Time. Like no, you can't get like Mutombo. No,
people
no.
Dwight Powell, Justin Anderson, JJ, but Raymond Felton is prospering right now, and this is not what life is supposed to be about. Oh my, John Jenkins is on this team. Charlie,
he's playing?
No, he's just on the bench. But Charlie Villanueva.
Yeah. Yeah, he was getting more minutes.
And Devin Harris.
Devin Harris.
Just think about all those names I said. And they're contending in the West right now.
Yeah, they're like.
It's ridiculous. I don't know. It really is just Rick Carlisle, dude. It's Rick Carlisle.
Rick Carlisle is
he's a wizard.
A top five coach.
He is
a wizard. Thank you for playing on the Celtics, Rick. You are a brilliant mind. And thank you for help us convey that Dallas pick this year. They are the fifth seed right now.
The fifth seed.
21-15. And they are on a 2-win streak.
Bless up.
Exactly. On that note, let's move on to the next topic.
Word. Okay. Next one. We're going to go into teams. Specifically, ironically enough, that used to be heralded to get my Stephen A. on. One of the most storied franchises in NBA history, the New York Knicks.
Good.
These type of teams, you know, the Knicks, Boston Celtics, the 76ers, the Lakers, and you could say the Minnesota Timberwolves, that are rebuilding and retooling right now.
Mm-hmm.
Well, basically, the first question I'm going to throw out is, why should, if you're a fan,
mm-hmm.
when and why should or should you not trust the process?
First off, I want to give a shout out to the Rights to Ricky Sanchez podcast, the Sixers official podcast. Not official, but basically should be. And we patented Trust the Process. This is a Sixer thing, but we're going to use it for everyone else. So let's go down the list. I want to start with Orlando. I'm going to start with Orlando, and I'll let you go. I'll give you my take, you give me yours. Orlando, man, why you should trust the process? Let's just look at the starting lineup to give you why you should trust this process. Like, it's absolutely incredible what I'm seeing right now. Yeah, Victor Oladipo, who's coming off the bench right now, which is, you know, somebody needs to trade for Oladipo, by the way. We should have talked about that, but it was all good. Vucevic, Elfrid Payton.
Double-double.
Elfrid Payton. Defensive stopper. He's going to be one of those guys for sure. Mario Hezonja. We're going to talk about him more in the future. I already know. Evan Fournier.
Not even being used.
Balling out of control, Evan Fournier.
Hold on. Let me put the brakes a little bit. He's inconsistent. Like, shout out to the Dead End Sports, that Tuesday Google Hangout they did. Evan Fournier is not balling that hard.
He's
He did this last year.
He's been going ham, dude.
He did this last year. Like, he'll have a hot streak for a
But the thing is, though, he's being efficient
about it. And then he'll be back to his inconsistency.
He's being efficient, though. Like, he might be inconsistent sometimes, but for the most part, he's very efficient. He's a very efficient
shooter. Unless he's breaking out this year, I would say hold the brakes on that one, because he did the same thing last year.
He's still a piece. We got to put him as a piece. Tobias Harris also could be a trade piece too. Not Tobias, but Evan.
I don't know. No,
I'm talking about Fournier could be a trade piece.
Oh, okay.
Tobias, great piece. Aaron Gordon, who's once he bulks to the, like, you know, his max, he's gonna be ridiculous. Napier, who's gonna be his future in the NBA is.
Got messed up.
He is going to be.
It got messed up because of LeBron.
He's going to be the journeyman. He's going to be that journeyman who is, you know.
It got messed up because.
He's going to be that journeyman guy. Like, he's going to be going from team to team. He's going to help a couple playoff teams. He's going to handle the ball here and there, but he's never going to make that big shot. He's still a college legend, though. So it's like, you know.
LeBron can't grade prospects.
Yeah, man, definitely a legend in college. CJ Watson, who's not terrible as a backup.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
He's not awful. He's really not.
No, he's a solid shooting guard. He's a glue guy.
He's solid. And I like this kid, Tyler Harvey. I like that kid. I don't know what it is. I think he's terrible, but I like him, man. I like that kid.
I didn't even hear anything. Oh.
Yeah. So, yeah,
okay.
Final thoughts. This roster alone is why you should trust the process, because all this young talent, they're going to be a problem. Victor Oladipo, if he stays with the team, it's going to be a problem. Vucevic is already a problem. He's averaging numbers that are only in, like, you know, Shaq's room his first couple seasons, which is ridiculous. He's dropped off a little bit this year. He hasn't been balling as hard as it was last year, but he's still good, very consistent player. Peyton, like I said, defensive stopper. Hezonja, when they play him, if they don't trade him, that is, because a lot of these players are pieces. And the thing about Orlando is they could either grow all this talent and maximize all of it, or they could just cash in and be like, hey, I'll give you Oladipo, Hezonja, and Evan Fournier for Paul George, and they could just cash out right there.
What?
And they could just cash out, but they're not going to do that because
no,
you know, they have the capability to either be a great homegrown talent team where everyone is, you know, brought up through Scott Skiles' defensive system, or they could just cash in for a big trade one day with all this young talent. And I love the options. That's what I love about them. They have options. They have young talent, and they could do anything with it. And they're right in the mix right now. I think they're sitting at the 9th seed. But a lot of those teams.
9th or 10th right now.
They're sitting at 10th. A lot of those.
9th or 10th.
I think it's 9th. But a lot of those teams are right like one win above them. So it's like a late push. They could be the Boston Celtics of this season.
Yeah.
For sure.
They could, yeah.
So what's your take?
Skiles is. To all you fantasy basketball players, you'll love him for his lineups because how consistent he is. But he's hard-headed at the same time because Aaron Gordon is still being held. Free Aaron Gordon as well. He is a little hard-headed, but I can understand why, because he's very rigid in his coaching. But it works. They've become a lot more defensive stalwart, and it's paying off. They've definitely improved where they were last year, but not just having Oladipo go off for 20, 30 points. And Elfrid Payton can still put up a nightly triple-double if need be. The problem with him is his offensive shooting, but Vucevic is a lock and double-double. Tobias Harris, quote-unquote, glass ankles, let's hope they stay together. He can give you that go-to option as well. Like, it's still, there's a lot of hope in the team. And you have a coach that I think, a la Brad Stevens, could be that role, that coach for that team. The problem is what they do with their talent, because the other thing I said is they have a lot of talent, but they're not using it all efficiently. They just got a D-League team. They're getting a D-League team, so maybe they finally, you know, send Izonia or Aaron Gordon or whoever is not going to get minutes down to the D-League so they can get some play time.
Mm-hmm.
But it's a lot of hope for, but there definitely are some critiques and criticisms that can be done, because as much talent as they have, I don't think it's completely being used.
Oh, no.
Because Oladipo's being the sixth man. I could have sworn I thought I saw he was going back into a starting role recently, but
I think he might have gone back here and there. I think they're very...
Because he should be their starting shooting guard, in my opinion.
Yeah, he definitely should. But people don't like it because sometimes he'll get really hot-handed and not in the go way, where he'll just try to toss anything up, you know what I'm saying? And
I mean, Peyton should just focus on that ball distribution, because he can be, it's like I said, a nightly triple double or a nightly double-double. But again, it is a lot of hope. I say trust. But I say you trust with a time limit of 3 years minimum.
I say 5 years max. If it's not there, because dude, people like Aaron Gordon don't have the ability to jump out the gym like that every day. What's his name? Hizonia does not have, you know.
Was a top 7 pick, and he's barely being.
Which is why I want the Sixers to trade so much for him. I would love that. I will give up.
I wouldn't be mad if the Celtics made a push just to nab him and clear off their. I would be shocked. I'm like, oh my god, Bill Simmons would have a Nance game. I kid you not. It'd be like the closest thing to getting Ben Simmons. I mean.
It definitely would. I love Mario Hizonia. All right. Next up, let's talk about. Let's talk about the Jazz, because they're very weird.
Jazz, okay.
Because the Jazz are very weird, and they're weird, but they're good, and they're.
How long have they been rebuilding?
They've been rebuilding for maybe like 3 seasons now. Since Trey Burke has been in the league with 3 seasons, right? Three or four. I think it's 3 or 4. They've been rebuilding ever since that Trey Burke draft, since they traded off Deron Williams. Yeah, man, Gobert, centerpiece, Trey Burke, good point guard, inconsistent as hell, but good point guard.
They need Exum back for a full season.
Yeah, they need Exum. I like him. I think he's a weird player though. They have a lot of weird niche kind of guys on their squad.
If he can get a full season out of him, from what I saw in summer league, he made development.
Yeah, his shot.
There's a reason why they snapped him out of
his shot. Like the Lakers went when they Dante Exum so bad. Derek Favors, I love him.
That front court pairing is arguably.
How do you feel about that Neto guy? I forget how to say his name.
Ralzino,
whatever his name is.
Something like that. If it was a fully healthy team,
yeah,
I think he'd be the third.
Yeah, I think he's like third string.
But you got Alex Burks out. Max amount.
Yeah.
So Burks would be. Burks is playing point guard instead of.
Yeah, Burks is nice though. That boy can ball,
yeah,
for sure.
He is. I think he's more of the.
Is he out for a couple weeks now?
I think whenever he got that the concussion thing.
Yeah.
I think it was 6 weeks.
Free Trey Lyles for sure. What's up with all these people like going in the top 10 but not, you know, I'm not saying Trey, but a lot of these picks in the top 10 and top 13 are not being played, and it's just like what's like I don't know what's going on.
It could be a lot of logic.
I don't know who's like, I know why because you have people like Gordon Hayward and Rodney Hood.
Ken loves him.
Yeah.
I don't know how to gauge it, but Quinn Snyder is not a bad coach to me. He's a little zany, but the system they have defensively, for sure, especially with Gobert and Favors, they do keep teams down.
I like it.
It does work.
I like what they're building.
Their problem is Gordon Hayward and Gobert's not utilized as much offensively, but Hayward's their going off guy. Mm-hmm. But they need. I'll put it like this: trust for now. Wait till that you have a full season of Exum before you start gauging where you are.
Exactly. Just an update on some Kings talk.
Oh my God, the Lakers could win. Okay. D'Angelo Russell balling out. Ken, he's not a bust. But I sent you that article for a reason. He's not a bust. He's 10 for 15, 3 threes, 25, 2, 4. And
2. How much he got?
He got 25 points, 3 threes, 2 rebounds, 4 assists, 2 steals. He's 10.
Let's get to it.
The Lakers just caught up back to the Kings.
They were up 27.
Trouncing them in the first quarter. They were up 20-some points.
Because the Kings will be the Kings, man. It's just so it's so saddening to me. Because actually, it's definitely not. Because if they get in the lottery, and I think they're a lottery team.
Should be.
If they get in the lottery, and they get the first pick, guess who gets that pick swap? And we're gonna talk about them in a second. So how are you feeling on the Jazz? Trust or like not trust for the Jazz?
Jazz, I said trust. Trust them. You can't fully mm-hmm. gauge right yet because you can't. You don't have a fully healthy team to understand what your rotation plans are because you're playing. When you're playing Joe Ingles, your glue guy, to be sometimes you're starting.
Yeah, that's ugly.
It's a struggle. So you can't fully gauge it. Yeah, I say trust. Snyder's not a bad coach. You have centerpieces. You have pieces to make a push in the Western Conference in the future. Like, your defensive front court is nasty. I think it's arguably top five when Gobert's healthy.
Exactly. And you know what, though? Just, like, I know we already got trades over with, but do you realize that with the Lakers win and a Kings loss, I think Vivek would start to get trigger happy. He's like, "Yo, we got to do something because this is not going the way it needs to go."
That's what I'm
saying.
So
definitely, and we're gonna get to the Kings.
Sorry, Zach.
Yeah, and we're gonna get to them Kings, man, and we're gonna get to those Lakers and all that. So, all right, next.
Give me the Lakers next.
Let's do the Lakers now. I think that's a good time.
I'm gonna put it like this. Fire Jerry.
Okay.
He did Kobe wrong.
Obviously.
Byron Scott should be on the hot seat, but I have a feeling he's not because they might have paid him just to make the Lakers tank.
I think.
When you put your rookies on the bench being a hard ass in that sense, and they're getting frustrated, like, I don't know if this is like old school style NBA, like you gotta earn your keep.
No, dude, this is not that. This is, hey, Hinkie has us by the balls. Hinkie has us by the balls right now, and I need you to tank this up because if we win 15 games, we're out of here. And that's what they're trying to tell them. That's all it is. But Byron's like, all right, I need my Christmas bonus to be tripled. We got you, Byron. And then he's going to bench D'Angelo Russell and then bench Julius Randle. Like, it was a sideshow.
I know a lot of Laker fans are on the fire Byron Scott train. From what I've read from Silver Screen to SB Nation, a lot of them don't like Byron Scott's coaching. I don't think I can't fully gauge him because he says things and I'm just like, so he is trying to coach? But then I'm like, no, Kobe must be coaching this team because there's no way some of the things that they do, like this is a playbook. I remember him making a comment about Russell about being not knowing more than like 60% of the playbook. I'm like, okay, but you put him on the bench.
Yeah, like,
how's he gonna execute being a starting point guard?
Like, he's a rookie. He's only gonna know a certain amount. Like, come on, dude. Anyway,
it's a different role than being the franchise.
How are we feeling about this roster, though? I want to get your take on.
Let's be real.
Let's be so real about this roster.
I'm gonna put it like this. Let me pull it up on the trade machine. I'm surprised that they didn't cut. Decide to let some waive some players and actually guarantee their contracts because Metal World Peace is staying,
which is ridiculous.
He he's just gonna be that guy on the bench for that. You know, it's all good. It's all good. Maybe tell him a story about the mouse at the palace.
Because all right, the roster, Kobe, top 10 player of all time, being Bryant, Jordan Clarkson, Nick Young, Julius Randle, MWP, D'Angelo, Roy Hibbert,
Marcelo
Huertas, the greatest Shaq and a Fool we've ever seen since
JaVale McGee,
Lou Williams, Ryan Kelly, Larry Nance Jr. I like him.
Apparently he's like looking, except for that great moment when he shot a bucket for the
Clippers. Yeah, that was hilarious. Zach Ray, Brandon Bass, and Tariq Black.
Brandon Bass, he's a glue guy.
I like Brandon Bass. They definitely need to trade him.
Tariq Black.
Yeah. Tariq Black is just awful.
Anthony Brown.
Never. No one ever talks about Anthony Brown ever in life.
Like this, the amount of players they have on this depth. Oh my God.
I'm currently watching this game while I'm talking to you. So if I get very, very excited, just let it be known that we're getting.
Let me know if the Lakers are winning.
They're down one right now.
Okay, let me see here. No, I got it that they're ahead. 111, 110, 230.
Oh, I'm sorry. Yeah, the Lakers are up. Oh, my goodness. This is crazy.
D'Angelo got more than Boogie. 27 points at 26.
That's ridiculous. This is their potential, though. I think that...
Free D'Angelo. He's not passing because he's benched right now.
I think that the thing about D'Angelo in this roster right now, dude, this roster can be very, very good in the future, but... I still say D'Angelo Russell should be with the Sixers and Jahlil Okafor should be with the Lakers. It's just how history should have been written.
Yes. Well, wait. Okafor as a center, Randle as the power forward.
That's how history should have been written. Randle would be so much better because he could benefit from the double teams that Jahlil would definitely get. Oh my goodness.
Kobe teaching him how to be the big man.
Yeah, like you go from the lineage of being, you know,
the next big man,
the Kareem, the Shaq. You know what I'm saying? You get to be that guy, but they didn't want him to be that because they just wanted to mess with Philly.
They didn't want another one.
They just wanted to mess with Philly right now. And I think somebody's down for the Lakers right now. I'm keeping everybody up. Kings update. We're going to be hearing that word. Kings update. Definitely a pick that we need to see. I think someone's down. I don't know who in the world it is, but I hope it's not D'Angelo. But what needs to happen is they need to fire Jim Buss, just like you said. They need to fire Byron Scott. They need to bring in – they need to throw all the money in the world at Tom Thibodeau. They need to throw all the cash possible.
Oh, my God.
They need to throw all the cash possible at Tom – like, it's just ridiculous.
You have me interested.
They need to throw all the cash at Tom Thibodeau in the world, and they need to trade Brandon Bass, and they need to trade Lou Williams. Okay. Oh, D'Angelo's down, man. I think he might have tweaked an ankle.
Oh, no.
Yeah, it's an ankle. It'll be all right. Yeah, it's an ankle. He should definitely be all right.
Ooh.
Yeah, he tweaked it very bad. It'll be all right. Actually, he tweaked it twice. Ugh.
He was playing with an illness. He was balling.
Yeah, he's all right, though. He should be straight. It's all good. Yeah, he's up and walking everybody. So, yeah, man, they need to throw all the cash in the world at Tom Thibodeau. They need to just completely rehaul this roster with nothing but young talent and build it up. Byron Scott, an assistant, I think would be fine as an assistant. He's just not a head coach in the NBA, man. I think he's a bad coach. And I love him as a player from the Showtime and all that stuff. He's a legend in the game for sure. You know, but I think he's just not right to teach a young core of guys. They have a young guy in Jordan Clarkson who I think could be a very good shooting guard. He's definitely not the next Kobe. But he could be that next hot.
It was a good point guard.
Yeah, he could be a point guard. Or he could go shooting guard. He could shoot the three. I think Russell at the one, Clarkson at the two. You're looking for your next three. You're hoping that's Ben Simmons. You're really hoping that's Ben Simmons. They need to just trade off the veterans That's what they should do. I hope they don't. They don't need to trade him off if you're a Philly fan. But if you're not a Philly fan, you're hoping that they trade off, you know, people like Brandon Bass and Lou Williams for some, you know, younger players. I would definitely do that. I would definitely trade off people like
Bass is on a cheap deal, and I'm biased because he was a Celtics, but he's a glue guy that really sets the tone to, like, I think he's given Randall some good advice.
Yeah, because Randall's pushing the ball up the floor now, dude.
Yeah, because Bass has a sweet arc to his shot. Like, he gets up so high and gets a nice shot every time I miss it. But he could be that glue guy for them. He could stay. Hibbert is their journeyman that should have been Jaleel, but this is where
he's just awful, dude. Roy Hibbert used to be really good. Not really good. That's way too strong. He used to be a serviceable player in this league. And
he just beat up Miami, I guess.
Yeah, man. Maybe Ken was right. So are we feeling trust this process, or are we not trusting this process?
You can't trust. Kobe's got to be done. This is the last year. It's the farewell tour. Yeah, y'all, you know it's a loss season.
I can't trust this process either because I need to see much, much more.
You gotta get Jim Buss out of L.A. Bring Magic back.
Yeah, I would love to see Magic in the GM job.
Bring Magic back. Get Genie to make it work.
Mm-hmm. They need to bring back Jerry West.
Whether or not.
Bring back Jerry West.
Oh.
Yeah, you need to bring Jerry back. Jerry's great.
Get your Laker lore, because, I mean, hell, the Celtics did it with Red for all the years, and that's what made them so great, because Red was that guy. And Danny Ainge learned from Red.
They're going to hack a Rondo right now. Kings update, for sure. this is so funny.
Wow, okay. Yeah, and maybe Byron Scott should go.
Yeah, definitely. So definitely
not. I like that Tom Thibodeau idea. Like,
they need to throw all the money in the world to him.
Tom Thibodeau needs an NBA contract. He needs an NBA contract. He's a coach that should be.
They should have. He should be coaching the Pelicans right now, which is ridiculous. But anyway, feeling that
we'll leave it at those three teams for now. We can touch on the subject. We'll bring this. This will be a
recording. Yeah, definitely.
For other teams as well, for updates and then how we're doing. But definitely, the final verdict on the Lakers is I can't trust
them. I can't trust.
You need Kobe to be done so you can start to move forward, because Kobe's legacy is coming to an end. You need to get rid of some of these depth players that are on here on dirt cheap contracts so they can just play when they should probably be D-League or retired. And your coach doesn't really have a system. And you have a GM that just lets his emotions get the best of him, and he just makes some poor moves. I'm sorry, Laker fans. Showtime ain't coming back. To quote Rick Pitino, Showtime's not coming through that door. Magic's not coming through that door. Kareem's not coming through that door. Kobe is not getting in a time machine and saving you back. He is not reconsidering retirement. You are going to be at the bottom of the barrel.
Dude, we just have to see. Right now, I'm not trusting it because I do not trust Jim Buss. I could trust Mitch if he was, you know, had full control without having interference.
Yes.
But he's just not able to.
He's tied up.
Definitely. I just need to see more. I'm not trusting it right now. I'm not trusting, but I can trust. That's where I'm sitting at right now.
There's potential, but a lot of things need to happen.
It's a no for me, but a potential yes if the right moves are made in the future. And I just need to see structural differences, you know, just put aside. And like Mitch and Jim, they don't like each other that much. They always front like they do. They don't like each other at all.
This is supposed to be the last year for the Gene gives to Jim. Definitely. So, I mean, it's a lost season already. It's Kobe's farewell tour.
It is.
And they're tanking. Exactly.
Yeah.
Genie got a pull.
So it's two no's from us on the Lakers, two yeses from us on the Magic, and two yeses from us on the Jazz.
It's a yes on the Jazz. It's just you got to wait before you give any more judgment. This will be a recurring subject on future podcasts, and we'll bring up other teams like the Knicks, like the Celtics, the Sixers, Because of course you can't bring up trust in the process without.
Of course not.
It's where it's
going. Of course, like, let's be real.
But that's gonna do it for now for this edition of Off the Bench. I want to thank everybody for listening. Thank you, Q, for giving your quotables as always.
Of course.
And obviously, I want to make sure to tell everybody subscribe to Dead End Sports. Make sure to watch every Tuesday at 9 p.m. Stay up to date. Make sure you follow them on the socials, Twitter, Facebook as well. And I believe they're still using Blab if anyone's still looking out there. I think they just incorporated this. So definitely make sure you subscribe to be aware of that.
For sure.
But this has been another edition, the first edition of Off the Bench. Congratulations. You just played.